Good afternoon. My name is James. It is my privilege to serve this church as the pastor. It is my privilege to be able to share the word with you today. Let me just get set up here for a second. I think it's always appropriate to start with a word of prayer. So if you would mind just joining me in that, just closing your eyes. If you would like to do that, bowing your head and join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we do get to come before you today and hear what you have to say to us. You are welcome here, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you love us so much that you don't keep us where we try to remain. That you are always adding learning to our life. That you are in the process of changing us more and more. Forgive us, Lord, where we dig our heels in and want to just remain seated. We want to remain exactly where we are. You love us too much to allow that to happen. Father, we thank you for the treasure, the beauty that is your word. And I pray that you would speak to our hearts once again today through your word. To your glory, Jesus, and to your glory alone. And in your name I pray, amen. So, I'd invite you to open up your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 to 6, and I'll be reading it in the NIV. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. This is the word of the Lord. So we will begin today a new six-part sermon series going through the book of Proverbs. And to kind of set the context, the background for us, let me ask a few questions and then have a few answers back. So the title of this six-part sermon series is Proverbs, Learning to Live Well. The first question then is, what is the book of Proverbs? The book of Proverbs is a collection, is part of a collection of books called wisdom literature. These are books in the Old Testament that include the book of Job, then the parts of the Psalms, then Proverbs, then Ecclesiastes, then Song of Solomon. And if we look to the New Testament, there are definite similarities to wisdom literature in the book of James. We may also be able to see that. The whole point of wisdom literature is about learning to live well. How do we live well? So therefore, I've titled this sermon series, Learning to Live Well. Second question, just to set the background for us, who wrote Proverbs? So the words of our text will also tell us this. If we go on to the next part, verse 1 actually gives us the fact that the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David. So most of the Proverbs are written by Solomon. In fact, the Bible tells us that Solomon wrote about 3,000 Proverbs. They're not all in the book of Proverbs. They're not all from Solomon. But we can safely say that he compiled them all together. Now, if we remember, if you know your Bible, you may remember that after Solomon had dedicated the temple to the Lord, God appeared to Solomon in a dream, and he asked Solomon, ask of me whatever you want. And Solomon asks for wisdom, and God answers that prayer. The Bible tells us that Solomon's wisdom was greater than all the people of the East. Many people from all nations came to sit and listen to the wisdom of Solomon. And during Israel's 40 years where he reigned, there was never a time of prosperity and peace like when Solomon actually reigned. So why are we going through this book? during these summer months, why are we going to find ourselves in the book of Proverbs? Well, the primary reason is this. There is a great need for you and I to learn how to live well. There is a great need for us to know that, to know, how do I make a wise decision? Always we are confronted with decisions to make. How do I make a wise one? How do I handle sexual temptation? How do I be discreet? How do I live a life that is not marked by one chaos after another chaos, but is a humble example of prudent living? The Bible, the Proverbs, gives us so many pointers and encouragement with this. Now, we're only going to have time in these next 6 weeks to go through a few Proverbs, but I want to set down a challenge. I want to set down an encouragement to us today. Why don't we read through the book of Proverbs over these summer months? One proverb, one chapter a day. There are 31 Proverbs. There are 31 days of the month. Boom, perfect. Why don't we find ourselves learning how to live well? You see, it's very easy for Christians to stick to our favorite verses, our favorite parts of the Bible, and just remain there. Time and time again, we go to the good old favorites. But a good biblical diet, a good balanced biblical diet, means we take in different types of books in the Bible, different parts of the book, exposing ourselves. It is not good in a diet if you just eat steak 3 times a day. Right? Although there is a diet actually that recommends that, but that's pretty crazy. Normally, you would not eat steak 3 times a day. So if we think of some of the meaty books of the Bible, like Romans. Romans is pure meat. Just juicy, pure meat. And you probably can't go too wrong eating it. That would be good for you. But I would recommend maybe getting into the Gospels a little bit. Maybe finding out a little bit about creation story as well as the meat. You need other parts as well. And so it is good for us to dip into different types of books. We need to know about church life and relationships, so we find ourselves in the epistles, in Ephesians, in Colossians. We need to know a little bit about the history of Israel, so we find ourselves in Judges or Samuel. And we need to know about Jesus' life, so we find ourselves in the Gospels. Finally, what is the purpose of the book? I mean, I like to have these questions. I don't know about you, but I like to have the context and the background. What is the purpose of Proverbs? What is it all about? Well, actually, the first words of our text also tell us what is the purpose of Proverbs. For gaining wisdom and instruction. That's the point of it. For gaining wisdom and instruction. The Proverbs are a set of sentences that are encouragements, warnings, observations that are put together that give the reader practical life wisdom. What we are to do when we read the proverb is we are to read it and then compare our life to the proverb. That's actually the root form of the verb proverb, means compare. So we are to compare. This is my life. This is what the Proverbs say, and make necessary changes if necessary. So as we dive in today, as we just look at the very first verses, I think it would be very informative for us, when we're talking about getting wisdom, to have a clear understanding of some of the key words that are used in Proverbs. Some of the vocabulary that is in Proverbs is rarely used in other parts of the Bible. It's almost exclusively used in Proverbs. So today, what I want to do is take a real deep dive into the meaning of some of these words. Key words that we need to have an understanding of as we go through the whole book. So we're going to look at words like wisdom. What does it mean, wisdom? What is wisdom? Knowledge. What does this word mean? The title of our sermon, Get Wisdom, is from a proverb. And it's one of my favorite ones. Proverbs 4, verse 7. In this almost this ode, this song to wisdom, Solomon says, the beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. So in case you missed it, it's important. And actually, that is the first step. One of the first steps. prioritize it? Do you seek it? Do you even want it? So let's go through our verses and see what we can extract, see what we can expound about getting wisdom. First part, we're going to take a look at these two words, wisdom and knowledge. Then we're going to take a look at another word, prudence, get prudence. And then thirdly, we're going to look at the fact that we need to keep getting wisdom. So let's take a look at the first part. Proverbs 1 verse 2 and Proverbs 1 verse 4 tells us this. For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, and Proverbs 4, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. So let's look at these two words. These are two words which are very similar, but crucially are very different. You can have a lot of knowledge, but not be wise. But you cannot be wise with no knowledge. So what do they mean? Let's take a look at a dictionary definition of the word knowledge. So from the Cambridge Dictionary, a pretty standard dictionary, I think, we get this definition. If we go on to the next part, we can see it. Knowledge equals information about something which a person gets by experience or study. That's knowledge. Information about something which a person gets by experience or study. Some of us here, I'm sure there's a couple of people here who have acquired an enormous amount of knowledge about 1990s dance music. There are a couple of guys, they may be German, that have really know an awful lot about 90s dance music. That is not a prophetic word, but I'm sure there's a couple of us who have that. Because you listen to a lot of the radio. You listen to the radio so much, you've got a lot of information about pop music. There are some of us who have read the Bible many times, and you know the verses, you know the characters, you've got a lot of knowledge about the Bible. The Bible actually instructs us to grow in the knowledge of Jesus. In Peter, it tells us this in 2 Peter 3, verse 18. Peter writes, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior." How can we properly worship Jesus if we have a very limited understanding of who he is? If we just, well, I know Jesus and I'm comfortable with this little bit of information. We are not to stop there. We cannot stop there, but this is a temptation for us. Let me just say this as an aside. There is a temptation for you and me not to grow in our knowledge of Jesus, because we've so far acquired a little bit of knowledge of who he is, and we're pretty comfortable with that knowledge. We're pretty comfortable with the Jesus. I can handle this Jesus. I can control this Jesus. It's very subtle. So we may not actually want to grow and learn more about who he is, because we're comfortable with the little box that we have made and we've put Jesus in. God, in his mercy, periodically will start shredding up that box that we try to put him in. Time and time again, in his mercy, he will shatter the image, the preconceived idea of God that we try to make. There's a lovely quote by C.S. Lewis who says actually this point. He says, "My idea of God is not a divine idea." Time and time again, we have ideas of God that are not divine ideas, but we're comfortable with them. So it has to be shattered time after time. He shatters it himself. God is the one constantly breaking it. So that's knowledge. Information obtained by experience or study. Wisdom can be defined by this. Also, looking at the Cambridge Dictionary, the definition of wisdom is the ability to use your knowledge and experience to make good decisions and judgments. Being wise often takes courage. You don't often think about that, but it does. It takes courage to take all of that knowledge and use it. Now, some of us, I'm sorry to have to mention this, but some of us are watching a lot of football recently. And I'm not going to say a single word about that. Apart from that, many of us are watching football. And often it gets to the last few minutes of the game. And your team is losing. So I actually feel for those managers, Because they have to make wise decisions. They have to take all of the knowledge that they have acquired about their players in those training sessions, all of the knowledge they've got about the opposing team, and in that moment, make a wise decision, which may upset people. It may be unconventional. Maybe they change a tactic, but they have to use it in that moment. Maybe a more spiritual one would be, wisdom is the skill of knowing what to say in often a difficult situation. So if a Christian brother or a Christian sister comes to you and they are looking for advice because they're thinking of leaving their wife or they're thinking of leaving their husband, you have to take all of the knowledge you have acquired about the Word and you have to apply it to this moment, to this Christian brother or sister right now, checking your heart while you do so. Not wisdom is knowledge lived out. It's knowledge that is applied to situations. And you know something? You can be really smart and really knowledgeable, but not be wise. You can know a lot about God, but your life is a mess because you never applied any of it. You never internalized any of that biblical truth, so it transformed how you act. It's just knowledge, not application. There are many examples of brilliant people that we are surrounded with, brilliant singers, brilliant scientists, but they didn't live wisely. If I was to ask you, who are some of the smartest people like of this generation, or the last 100 years, who are the people with the highest IQs? I reckon that some of us would think Albert Einstein, right? Mr. One Stone. That guy, his name is associated with genius, right? The Nobel Prize winner, theory of relativity, one of those influential scientists of all time. Yet his personal life was a mess. Absolute mess. Entangled relationships. Coldness towards his children. Married twice. Full of extramarital affairs. So much knowledge, but lacked discernment. Didn't apply any of it into his personal life. The people who are usually really wise, who are living out that, who internalize the biblical truth, are usually people you and I have never heard of. They're just quietly living out the Proverbs. They're just being discreet. They're just being faithful to their spouse. They're just helping the poor. They're living out wisdom. Now, today, in 2024, all of us are in the same boat where all of us face a great obstacle in getting wisdom. And the obstacle is this: we're not living in an age of wisdom. We're living in an information age. There has probably never been a time in the history of the world where you could get so much information and you could have access to it at your fingertips. And that is a threat to wisdom. Because we are busy slaving away, getting information about Trump, getting information about coronavirus, getting information about football, but actually not applying any of it because you can't apply it. There's so much information, but how do I apply this? You can know a lot of random stuff, but actually not much about your neighbor. Not much about even your friends, but I've got a head full of knowledge because it's very tempting for us to acquire knowledge just for the sake of acquiring knowledge. We have before us the rabbit hole of Wikipedia. Man, that is a rabbit hole. Every link to another link, to another link, to another link, and suddenly I've just got information. I've got a head full of information. And this is what we start doing. We just start scanning. I don't know if you've ever started doing this. With all of the content that is readily available, you just start scanning and scanning and scanning and reading quickly. That is a threat to getting wisdom because we get wisdom when we digest and we reflect and savor over this information. When the brain gets so much information, it goes into meltdown. Which bit does it discard? Which bit does it need to keep? Be wise. Learn to reflect and learn what information you could do without. So let me give us a couple of tips, because we like to think practical and the Proverbs are full of practical wisdom. Here's a practical tip about actually reading the book of Proverbs. And it's basic. Don't try to read four chapters of Proverbs at the same time. I tried to do that recently as I reading through the Bible this year, and I realized nobody can obtain this amount of information. But I'm so used to it. I'm so used to scanning and just reading through things quickly. Don't do that with the Proverbs. Savor it. One chapter a day for a month. That's your challenge. And learn to savor it. And ask yourself this. Could you be overloaded with information? Do you need all of that stuff that you're trying to fill your head with? What could you do without? Is your attitude towards getting wisdom like the Proverbs' attitude to getting wisdom? Proverbs 4 talks about wisdom with these words. It says this, get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Cherish her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Is that my attitude towards wisdom? Take the time to think about it as we go on to our next part and we talk about prudence. So let me say something briefly about this. One of the first things we actually learn in the Proverbs about getting wisdom is very closely linked to another word which also requires definition, and that is prudence. So Proverbs 1:3-4, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. So the Bible actually tells us something very unique about prudence. It is linked. In Proverbs 8, it actually talks about this. In Proverbs 8, it says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. I live with prudence. And I find knowledge and discretion. And there is a definition of what prudence is. Prudence means showing good judgment in avoiding risks and uncertainties. So nowadays, we often use this word with finance and money. But it doesn't have to be like that. But we'd often use, well, for example, we would say, if you want to buy a house, you need to be prudent and save some of it every month to build it up for 10 years. You need to be prudent in your behavior. But it doesn't have to be like that. A prudent person is a man with a plan. You have some kind of strategy for living. A prudent husband will think about what he wants his family to look like, and he will sit down with his wife, and together they will think, do we have any vision for what we want our family to look like? I will always remember when my wife and I were asked that very early into our parenthood. Our kids were very young, and we were asked, James, Sandra, do you have a vision for what you want your family to look like in 15 years' time? Like when they've all grown up. And my mind went blank. I had no vision. I was a man without a plan, no strategy for it. Because it is very easy for you and I to go through life just getting through it. Just in some kind of survival mode. I'm just reacting. Life is happening to me, and I'm just reacting to whatever it is, with the thought somewhere that when all of this busyness is over, I will be able to sit down and have a day to myself, and I'll be able to hope and think about the future when all of this is done. Let me let you into a secret that's never going to happen, never, if you don't prioritize it. There is an intentionality to wisdom and prudence. It will never just happen. A prudent husband, a prudent wife, will sit down together and they will talk. They will make the time to say to each other, what are our values? What do you hope for in this marriage? Like, hey, what traditions do we want to have in our marriage? And then they begin to take that first practical step towards that happening. Do not think it will just happen. It'll just happen. No. You'll wake up. Something will happen. But you will parent, you will be a husband or wife to hidden values, hidden hopes that were never expressed. Better to talk about them and then take steps towards realizing them. That is a prudent person who does that, who has that strategy. So, finally, we also learn something else about getting wisdom, and that is this. The next part tells us, Proverbs 1 verse 5, let the wise listen and add to their learning. We don't stop. That's what we learn. We don't stop getting it. The wise person does not listen and then say, you know what, I've had about 60 odd years of learning, and I'm pretty much done with all of this. So I'm just going to watch some daytime TV. I'm pretty much done. My brain is full up. No. Proverbs 19 tells you and me this truth, which is the one who gets wisdom loves life. So if you're done with learning, you're done with life. There was a story that I like to tell you. There's a very short story, but it's one of these little acts that shows what it means to keep getting wisdom. There was a friend of mine, and he was a young guy, and he was teaching a group of other guys who were all quite a lot older than he was. And some point during the teaching, one of these guys, who must have been about 30, 40 years older than my friend, he got out a notebook. And all he does is just starts writing down some notes about what my friend was saying. A very small act, but it made an impression on my friend because of this. That was humble, and it shows he's not done with learning. He hasn't stopped adding learning regardless of the age of the teacher. The wise don't stop adding it. You keep going. If you and I want to get wisdom, then a concept that slowly, little by little, over time, you are growing in wisdom needs to be embraced. You need to actually accept it. Now, Solomon asked God for wisdom. And we also know from the Bible, the friend of God, Moses, also asked God for wisdom. He asked God, Lord, help me to prioritize my time. Help me to make good use of my time. In Moses' famous psalm, in Psalm 90, verse 12, one of my favorite ones that I will often actually pray in the morning, Moses writes, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The idea of it is this, basically, that you understand that at this season of your life, there are some things that God wants to teach you. Not everything in these 1 or 2 years. You don't need to cram yourself with information about everything. There are some things that God wants you to learn. There's maybe a book God wants you to read. There's maybe a life circumstance that God wants you to learn from. But don't run ahead of him trying to learn everything, but just this part. Yet at the same time, don't waste your time. Don't just think, well, you know, it'll just happen. No, prioritize it. Life is short. Life is very fragile. Prioritize what is important in the kingdom of God. And if you do that, what the Lord will do is increase your learning bit by bit by bit. Because the way we grow as Christians can be summed up in this lovely little quote by the counselor Henry Cloud, which I must have mentioned before. He says this: grace plus truth plus time equals growth. That's how we grow. We need that time. The brain needs to be able to reflect and digest over the knowledge that it's getting. It needs it. So let me begin to end by saying this and challenging us in this way. Why do you and I keep getting wisdom? Why? Why do we keep adding learning? Because you don't just get wisdom for the sake of becoming wise. That's not the point. What the Lord is doing is wisdom is a part of the righteous character process that God is trying to do in your life. If you will allow Him, He is trying more and more to make you and I into the image of His Son Jesus. And in that ancient book of Proverbs, we see Jesus reflected and shining through. It sometimes might be hard for us Christians to see the gospel in the book of Proverbs, but it is all over it. Why? Because Jesus is the wisdom of God. That's why. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24 tells us this: to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Jesus. All of them. And so for this reason, we can see the Proverbs like this. There's a lovely quote that I want to begin to leave us with. It's by a professor called Matt Emerson. And he says this: because Jesus is wisdom, then Proverbs is a book that asks us to see Jesus and follow Jesus. And I want us to think of the Proverbs like that as we go through it in these next weeks. See Proverbs as a book that asks you to see Jesus and follow Jesus. And let me end by saying this. Some of you may have been born with the ability to pick up knowledge real quick. Thank God for that gift. Your ability to have a sharp mind and just acquire knowledge. But nobody is born wise. Nobody. Because we're all born sinners. And sin reduces us to what? A fool. It reduces us to foolishness and folly. Therefore, we need our Savior Jesus to come and teach us and rescue us out of our foolishness and teach us what it means to be wise. So I'd like us to leave us with that thought and ask us to once again close our eyes and let me pray into that right now. Heavenly Father, would you please give to my brothers and sisters, and would you give to me, a humble and broken heart that is willing for learning to be added and added to it. Teach us, Jesus, not to run ahead of you in an eagerness to gain an overload of information, but help us to learn what it is you want to teach us in this season of our life. Help us to be learners which are lifelong learners. To be with you, partnering, walking alongside you, Jesus, as you teach us what it means to be wise. As you help us to apply whatever we learn from the Bible into our lives, into that messy situation, into that situation we have no idea what to do. Help us to apply it, Lord, through your word, through your Holy Spirit. This is my prayer for my brothers and sisters here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.